Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Soy católico. I'm a Catholic. And Hillary is a Methodist. But I tell you, her creed is the same as mine. Do all the good you can. Pretty simple. Do all the good you can. Measure your life by the positive effect you can have on other people's lives. Be of service to one another. Now that's a notion that Americans of every faith tradition and every moral tradition believe in, and it's a message that Hillary Clinton has taken to heart for her entire life.
That's a Democratic vice presidential candidate, Tim Kaine. Short speech he gave after being officially announced as Hillary Clinton's running mate for the White House. He does claim to be a traditional Catholic, and he's usually portrayed that way in the media. I don't know what that means, though, when we're talking about a man who now is publicly saying that we ought to have taxpayer-funded abortion, a big change in that traditional Roman Catholic's viewpoint. We're going to be talking about Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine and Roman Catholic voters. Dr. James Hitchcock joins us. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Hitchcock is a regular guest. He's Professor Emeritus of History at St. Louis University. Dr. Hitchcock, welcome back.
Thank you very much. I'm always glad to be here.
How do you react when you hear the media refer to Tim Kaine as a traditional Roman Catholic?
Oh, it's a deja vu all over again. this is a line that has been going on. I think it started with the Kennedy brothers, but it's continued on with every prominent Catholic in the Democratic Party who do the amazing feat of pretending that the Catholic Church has nothing authoritative to say on the subject of abortion. And then by themselves embracing abortion as a positive good, they can define themselves as traditional Catholics. So I don't know what a liberal Catholic would look like if you define a traditional Catholic that way.
Let's just talk a little bit about that distinction, though, that's often made. Do we need to distinguish the media, everyone, need to distinguish between kind of your Easter Christmas Catholics and your mass-going, confession-going Catholics?
Yes, it is. And I have no idea about Senator Kaine's practices. I assume he goes to Mass regularly. There are voting statistics that show that Catholics who do attend Mass weekly do not accept this formula. Personally, I'm opposed, but some do. I would say that the way in which people like Senator Kaine define their Catholicism is, to my mind, rather loose. You would, I think, try to determine who is or who is not a really hardcore Catholic by noticing at what points their beliefs differ from that of the surrounding culture. One of the obvious points, again, there is abortion. Can Senator Kaine point to anything where he says, my religion has now put me against the prevailing customs of the United States? I haven't seen that in any of the leading Democratic politicians. And the fact that this is a sort of a personally chosen position on his part, it is and it isn't. Anybody who now, for this has gone on for a number of years, anybody who wants to get ahead in the Democratic Party has to be pro-abortion. There's no way that a pro-life Catholic or a pro-life anything is going to make it in the Democratic Party. So in that sense, that's imposed on him. It may or may not be his personal choice, but it's imposed on him by the party.
Catholics make up, by some counts, 22% of the electorate.
Right.
Talk about the Catholic vote in a general sense. What does that usually mean? To what group are they trying to appeal?
It's not very clear. Catholics do not vote as a bloc. They have differed in the last, I think, 10 elections in terms of who they were, sometimes a Democrat, sometimes a Republican. It goes back and forth, usually by no large amount. There is, as I said, a distinctive difference between those who say they go to Mass every week and those who don't, with the former group tending to be more conservative. Then, the element that's overlooked to a great extent is the Hispanic Catholics, who tend to be overwhelmingly Democratic in their political loyalties. They show themselves to be conservative in their beliefs, but when it translates into politics, they almost always vote Democratic. So when they're talking about the Catholic vote, I think they're talking about what you might call the mainstream middle-class white Catholics who are kind of up for grabs and can go either way.
Tim Kaine claims to be personally opposed to abortion, but
yes,
according to Planned Parenthood, they give him a 100% voting record in favor of abortion. That's not that unusual, is it?
Yes. I do find that really quite astonishing that someone would make that statement. I'm completely pro-life, and yet I do everything that the pro-abortionists want me to do. I mean, to me, I have to say the word hypocrisy immediately comes to mind. It's because I don't think, frankly, that a lot of the people who say this necessarily believe it themselves. It started out, I think, again, with the Kennedys, especially Teddy Kennedy. It was a formula. You try to get off the hook. Somebody said, "Well, you're a Catholic. How can you be in favor of abortion?" "Oh, I don't favor abortion. No. I'm against it." But and I don't think that they necessarily expect anybody to take that seriously. But it's what you have to say to try to explain your position.
How does that go over with Catholic voters, though, hearing that from their politicians?
Yeah, well, it goes over in different ways. Again, I think there's a hardcore pro-life Catholic vote. There's a hardcore Democratic Catholic vote that will vote Democratic pretty much no matter what. There are Catholics that are pro-life, but at the same time, that isn't necessarily the number one issue, so they could be swayed over something else. The best the statistics that I've seen are that the abortion issue can, in some cases, make a difference of, say, 5% in the outcome of an election, sometimes more, depending on what part of the country you're in. So the pro-life movement doesn't have the ability to determine the outcome of elections, but it can have crucial influence. And I think, obviously, the nomination of Kaine is based on the idea we've got to get these fence-sitting Catholic voters. We're hoping Kaine will do it. But at the same time, there's no possibility that they're not going to try to reach out to pro-life people because they know they can't succeed.
So is it safe to say that they are going after the, as you said, either fence-sitting Roman Catholics or Catholics for whom abortion is either a secondary, tertiary issue or not on the radar at all?
Yes, I think that's the case. You know, it's never been the case that a majority of the nation that the nation is divided simply along the lines of are you pro or anti-abortion or any of these other what so-called social issues, economic issues, foreign policy issues, wars. Those always carry much more weight. So you're talking about the ability to maneuver within that very complex pattern.
Now, there's also been another thing at play here, and I think it touches upon the issue of Catholic voters and Catholic politicians who deviate significantly from the church's moral teaching, and that is the church's response to this. Sometimes it's bold, and sometimes there's a lot of, well, just the sound of crickets coming from the bishop's office when one of his parishioners is running for office.
Yes, I mean, that's unfortunately the case, too. The American hierarchy are themselves divided over what to do. There are no bishops who are pro-abortion. There's no bishop who would speak in favor of it. But the question is, should there be any repercussions for a Catholic politician who is pro-abortion? There have been some bishops who have been very strong in saying, yes, those people should not approach communion. The bishop, I forget which diocese it is, just very recently said about Senator Kaine, "I hope he does not present himself for communion in my communion line." My guess is most of the bishops are not going to say anything about this. They will probably issue a kind of general statement about the importance of the abortion issue, and people need to take this very, very seriously, but they will not draw any specific conclusion and say, oh, therefore you should not vote for pro-abortion politicians.
That seems to, if memory serves, Dr. Hitchcock, that seems to have been basically the response when, at the time, Senator Joe Biden was chosen by Barack Obama as a Roman Catholic pro-choice.
Yes, exactly. As I said, it goes really far back to John Kerry. It does, in fact, go all the way back to the Kennedys. Teddy Kennedy was the first one who ran for president after abortion became a public issue, the first one of the Kennedy brothers. And he basically set the whole tone for it. There's another element to this also about whether abortion should be legal or not. Abortion is legal because the Supreme Court declared it to be so. So the aim of the pro-life movement has been to have some influence on the Supreme Court and reverse that judgment. But liberal Catholics like Senator Kennedy, and I'm sure will turn out to be Senator Kaine, have fought very, very hard to block the appointment of any pro-life justice to the Supreme Court, and they've been fairly successful in doing that. The state of the Supreme Court at the present moment is such that if the Democrats win in the fall, I think that the pro-life movement has lost all hope of ever being able to get control of the Supreme Court again.
Finally, then, which ticket, in your opinion, which ticket will garner the majority of the Catholic vote in
Between
November?
The Democrats and the Republicans?
Yes.
I can't really say. I think it will be a very close call. I think it's going to be, 2%, one way or the other. I think a lot matters between now and November. A lot of it, I think, will ride on Mr. Trump. Because he has the great ability to stick his foot in his mouth, and he doesn't seem to care. And my guess is that when he does that, he alienates each time a certain number of people, because he's already got a hard core of supporters who are glad when he makes rather outrageous statements. So depending on how he conducts himself between now and November, I think that could be the determining factor.
Will the average parish priest, will he be addressing some of these issues to not only his parishioners, but their potential voters as well?
Not in general, no. Most parish priests, I think, try to stay away from politics in the pulpit. Some who have done so have sometimes encountered fierce reaction. I think in a lot of ways, people's loyalty to their political parties almost exceeds their loyalty to their churches in some cases. So I think most priests take, again, the same line that bishops take. Well, there are these moral principles. You should know what they are. Then make up your own mind. It seems to me that if you look at those moral principles, the conclusion is obvious, don't vote for pro-abortion politicians. But I think most priests will stop short of actually saying that.
Dr. James Hitchcock is Professor Emeritus of History at St. Louis University. Dr. Hitchcock, thank you very much for being our guest.
Okay, thank you. Always glad to be here.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Oz Guinness. He's a regular guest. He's author of many books, and his latest is titled Impossible People, Christian Courage and the Struggle for the Soul of Civilization. We'll take up the subject of engaging secularism and atheism. He even suggests in his book that Christians ought to consider working together as co-belligerents with mindful, thoughtful atheists. We'll find out why in the course of our conversation with him right after the break.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. the College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a Confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.